I'm so excited this morning. Mr. Gunn came up to me and he said, "You need to speak louder." So I'm going to speak loud this morning.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm excited about where the Holy Spirit's going to take us this morning, revealing His truth to our spirits. Hey, Darlene.
Yes, Les.
What's 1 Peter 2:24?
That Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that we shall live the right life, or in righteousness, and that He...
By His
stripes we are
healed. Darlene is memorizing the Word of God. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. That's what we've been talking about for a number of weeks now. We're talking all about discipleship. And by His stripes or by His wounds, we have been healed. And so, all about discipleship. And what we've been talking about is this diagram right here, the body, the soul, and the spirit. And that's in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. You can go read about that. Paul praying that we would be sanctified holy, that our body and our soul and our spirit would be blameless the day of Jesus Christ. Father God, I thank You for this gathering this morning. I thank You that You are here in our midst, that that You are holy. And You have called us to be holy, to walk holy and upright lives, to reflect Your glory. Your Word says that we are being changed into Your likeness from one degree of glory to another. And this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We thank You for that. We thank You that You are at work in us, both to will and to do Your good pleasure. And that's exactly what we want to do. So we commit our hearts to You this morning. We commit ourselves to one another this morning because we are Your body. And we look to You for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so...
By the way, y'all, these are scratch notes for you to use if you want.
Yeah, you can check. You can scratch on it. So, I hope everybody knows by now this little diagram. Because before we met Christ... we lived in that flesh. We lived in the body and the soul. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the likeness of God. Satan blinded our minds. Tracy taught a whole series on the fact that our mind is a battlefield. And we are supposed to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Where is that?
Romans 12:2.
Hallelujah. So, praise God, we're no longer blind because of Titus 3:5. Jesus saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit. We have been renewed. We are a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And not only that, not only was our spirit, which was dead, has it been regenerated and made alive, He has given us life. 1 John 5. 11 and 12. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son
has life. That's right. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's Zoe life. That kind of life. And we saw over in Luke 9, verses 23 and 24, that we are to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and to follow Jesus. And if anyone would love their life, they're going to lose it. That life is suke. That's the soul life. If you try to keep this soul life, you're going to lose it. But Jesus poured out his soul unto death, and so do we. So we die, 1 Peter 2:24, we die to sin, and we are alive to righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So, we have, to be a disciple, we have Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. So what we're going to talk about this morning is, so the Spirit consists of these three things, communion, intuition, and conscience. Now these are not, we can look at them independently, but they're not, they're interdependent. You have to commune with God in order to have revelation from God. And when you have revelation, then what? Your conscience becomes sensitive. You begin to know intuitively what is right and what is wrong. He uses our conscience. We're going to talk about conscience next week, and we're going to talk about how does discipleship look as a body. We've been talking kind of like individually. How do we walk as an individual disciple? We're going to wrap up next week with what does that look like as the church? Whoa, awesome. So today we're going to talk about communion and intuition. Now, you know what? We still walk around in a body, don't we? And we still use our minds. And we can think, and we have in our mind, we are in our soul, we have mind, will, and emotions. And sometimes, emotions might just get the better of us. And we might get really, really, really angry. And we get soulish. And we just might tell a great big bodacious lie. Nobody lies in here. I know.
But when my husband and I was serving, we
But we want to walk in the Spirit. And so like Darlene, we're hiding that word in our heart. We're packing ourselves with the word. And so we have truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Oh, Father, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth." We went over that probably in the first lesson. So we fill ourselves with truth. That's how we renew our minds. And so if we tell that great big bodacious lie, and we're down here in the soul, and we're not walking in the Spirit, and then the Lord says, by His Spirit, He calls to remembrance. Leviticus 19:11. I know all of you know that one. "You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another." And the Holy Spirit takes that word and just galvanizes you by Hebrews 4:12, the living and active word of God. And that pierces, remember that? It pierces to the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and it discerns the thoughts and intentions of your heart and says, "Oh, Lex, old buddy, you just told a great big bodacious lie." And what do we do? Well, I'll tell you what I do. I run into the shower. And I turn on the living water. And I grab the Christian's bar soap. And it doesn't say Dial on it. It doesn't say Irish Spring. It says 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I start soaping up. You know, scrub-a-dub-dub with that Christian's bar soap. And then I grab that bottle of 1 John 1:9 shampoo. Shh. And I scrub-a-dub my curly locks. Frankie doesn't have to use as much.
No, I've used it too much.
Oh, too much. He's spending his time in the shower. Now we know the ones that are using that 1 John 1:9.
I use that same shampoo you did.
Is that the reason I couldn't find some at the store the other day?
That's right.
I don't think it's the feet. We may not wash the feet good enough yet.
Oh. Maybe so. But we're washing down, and you know what? We're getting clean. And all that living water's come down over us, and it's just washing us, and all that sin's gone down the drain. And the Father remembers it no more.
Amen. Amen.
And then, you know, well, I guess we shake like a dog, but we get out of the shower. We get out of the shower, and we put on Christ. And then we walk out the door. We walk out the door, and we are walking in the Spirit.
Amen.
And we are communing with our Father. We're spending time with Him. We're back in the Spirit. So, we can walk in the Spirit and not gratify the desires of the flesh. And the more we do that, the more we are changed into His glory, into His likeness, from one degree of glory to another. And that's all happening by the Holy Spirit. Awesome. So, there's this really cool verse in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. And God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." And the whole point of that is that we cannot know God in the body and the soul. We can only know Him in the Spirit. Remember John 4, 23 and 24, that He said, Jesus says, "Hey, if you're going to worship me, you have to worship in spirit and in truth." Like has to meet with like. So if we're going to know Him, if we're going to worship Him, because God is Spirit, we have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So our spirit and His spirit commune. Amen? So let's flip over in your Bibles. Come on, open your Bibles. Woo! To 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh, Father, please give us plenty of time. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to start with verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Listen, if you're not familiar with this passage of Scripture, you need to go to bed with it tonight. You need to rise up with it in the morning. You need to walk with it all day long. When you sit down, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 ought to be with you. When you rise up, it should be with you. When you talk to your kids, when you talk to your neighbors, it should be with you. You should know this. So we're going to talk about it. So let's go. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to start with verse 9. And I'm reading out of the Revised Standard Version for if you all listen to it and you say, well, what in the world is he reading? So it says, but as it is written, and as it is written is in Isaiah 64:4, by the way, as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived. That's what I just said from Isaiah 55:8-9. We cannot know God. We cannot even conceive of what God does and what he's like in our rational mind. We can sit there all day long and we can, and try to apprehend him, but we cannot, because he is apprehended in the Spirit. So, he says, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him, verse 10, God has revealed to us through the Spirit. So he's saying that what you weren't able to do in your rational mind, I have revealed to you through my Spirit, because it goes on to say, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. The Holy Spirit knows everything. He searches the depths of God, the illimitable, boundless one who created everything out of nothing by speaking the Word. Oh, he is the Word. So that Spirit has now revealed to us all the depths and the riches of who God is.
This reminds me of a story that I heard today. I was watching a Gateway on their sermon, and it was the pastor, and he was telling his story, and he said when he was younger, he was in church with his dad, grew up in church, and they were doing communion, and he said he reached out and he was going to grab the little pieces of bread, and his father said, no, son, you can't, you're not a Christian. And he said the grape juice was coming, he loves grape juice, and he was like, and his father said, no, you're not a Christian. He said, well, how do I become a Christian? And his father said, well, you have to talk to the pastor. He said the grape juice was already three rows back. And he was like, oh. And he prayed and placed his faith in Christ, and, well, he prayed, but he said the grape juice drew him. So he went on, he even helped out with evangelism, did all these things, shared his testimony in and out of drugs, but he said he never was a believer. And finally it was a pastor who challenged him and said, you know what, you say you have this testimony, you say you're a believer, but you've been in and out of drugs. Like, he would do the evangelism thing and then go get high. And he said, so, you know, you have this consistently going on. I'm wondering, do you really know Christ? And he said he was in his hotel room, he went back to his room and he prayed and he's like, God, I don't know you. And he said, the Holy Spirit has to draw you.
That's
he
right.
said, the first time the grape juice drew him.
Crystal, that is so good. That is so important, church. There are so many people now who say they are Christians and they could even preach a sermon. They read the Word and yet they don't know him.
Right.
They are here. You can know the Word in the soul, in your mind. I can read that. I can tell you, you know, a verse. I can memorize a verse and tell it to you, but they don't know Christ.
Right.
That's just like the woman at the well in John 4, you know, that when she went back to the men of the village, they came out because of her testimony, but then they begged Jesus to stay a couple of days with them, and then they told her, we believe not because of what you said, but because we've heard of them.
Bingo.
Yeah.
So, so important. Well, so that gets us on to where we are here, because it says in verse 11, for what person knows a man's thoughts except the spirit of the man which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So, you know, Debbie's sitting over there, you know, and I don't know what she's thinking. What's that? I mean, she might be looking at me and she might be saying, man, he's a really good looking guy. But I don't know that.
And then again.
And then again, then again, she might say, well, that guy needs a haircut.
I can't. Yeah.
You're smart.
But I cannot know her, what she's thinking. And we can't know what God's thinking until the Holy Spirit comes, because the Holy Spirit comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit. No one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And then you need to memorize verse 12.
Yes.
Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which comes from God, that we might understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. So, whereas before the God of this world blinded the minds of unbelievers, the spirit of the world, we have received the Spirit which is from God, that we might understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And I need three hands. Charizomai, that's the word for gifts in the Bible. And it just means everything that the Father has for you. His grace. What gift did he give us in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9?
Salvation.
For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. So we understand that. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says no one can say Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Spirit. So we have received God's Spirit, and if the Spirit knows all of the thoughts of God, guess what? We can understand what He has for us. We can understand His will. We can understand what He has for us. We can understand the plan that He has for us, and we can walk in it. And, verse 13, we impart this, what we receive intuitively, revelationally from God through His Spirit, we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who possess the Spirit. Guess what? I am speaking spiritual truth to you in words not taught by human wisdom, but words taught to me by the Holy Spirit. And you who are spiritual are receiving those truths into your spirit. And the Holy Spirit is quickening your spirit. And we are being edified. We are being built up. We are being strengthened as the body of Christ. Oh, this is so good. So, verse 14, the unspiritual man does not receive the gifts of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. This unspiritual man in King James is rendered natural. This natural man has not been regenerated. That natural man is living in the body and the soul. That natural man is psychikos. So from the same thing in Luke 9, 23 and 24, we saw if you want to save your life, your psyche, you're going to lose it. Well, this natural man is still there. He's psychikos. He's natural. He's living in the soul. So he cannot understand. And what Paul's really getting at here is that the natural man cannot understand the cross. He cannot understand that God would come down to earth as a man, walk around with a body, soul, and spirit, and that he would willingly go to the cross and die, and that's God's eternal salvation plan. He can't understand that. Because it's spiritually discerned. So the Holy Spirit has to show that. The Holy Spirit has to shine the light. It's all done by the Spirit. So verse 15, the spiritual man, this man is pneumatikos. Pneuma meaning spirit, breath, wind. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in the middle of the night, he said that you had to be born again, and he talks about the wind blows wherever it will. That's pneuma. It's the Spirit of God. So we are spiritual men and women. And it says the spiritual man judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. Because we receive revelation intuitively from the Holy Spirit, in our spirit. We do not grasp it. We do not go out and get it by using our rational mind. The Holy Spirit reveals it to us in our spirit. And therefore, we can judge all things. We can go out and the Holy Spirit will reveal things to us. And we can go out walking in the Spirit and we can know what the Father knows. We can know because the Holy Spirit reveals it to us. And no one can judge us because of that. And so that's maybe a hard thing to grasp. Let me give you an analogy. Okay, so I was a Air Force pilot. We would have to go out and fly a check ride in the airplane in order to demonstrate our proficiency. And we would go with a check pilot or an instructor pilot, and because that instructor pilot was like the cream of the crop, you know, they were able to fly this jet par excellence. And they're going to go out and they're going to what? They're going to judge my performance. And they're able to judge my performance because they know what I'm going to do. See where I'm going here? They know what I'm going to do. So if somebody is wiser than me, then they would be able to judge me. But the fact that we have the Holy Spirit living in us, there's no one else that can go in and know what the Holy Spirit is revealing to you. Therefore, they cannot judge you because they don't know that mind. Now, we need to test the Spirit, but when Bob says, Lex, the Holy Spirit told me But I cannot judge that. I have to know that the Holy Spirit is at work in Bob, and we are unified in the Spirit. And that's how the church works, church. That's how it ought to work. And so now we are building up ourselves. That's what Paul talks about later in 1 Corinthians in 12, 13, and 14. He's talking about how the church ought to work because this church at Corinth was messed up. And we'll look at that in a minute. So it says, for who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? So the natural man can't do that. There's no way that we know the mind of the Lord, but the spiritual man, on the other hand, we have the mind of Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but that blows me away.
Yeah.
And I just end up praising him and worshiping him because he has put himself in me. And we can know, he'll reveal himself to you. And by practice, we can get better and better at communing with the Lord and receiving intuitively his revelation. And what happens then, we'll talk about this next week, our conscience becomes super sensitive. Chapter 3, but I, brethren, could not address you as spiritual men. Uh-oh. I could not address you as spiritual men, but as men of the flesh, as babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even yet you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving like ordinary men?
Practicing the soul.
Back in the soul. They might have been able to exercise a gift of wisdom, but they were soulish. They were operating according to their mind or their emotions. They were jealous. If you go on and down there and you say, for when one says, well, I belong to Paul, and another, well, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely men? So, church, we are to walk in the Spirit. We are to practice that. If you flip over, I'm going to do this real quick. This just came to me. Hebrews chapter 5. It's the writer of Hebrews, who I think is Paul, but we don't know. Hebrews chapter 5 is almost the same thought. And he says, verse 11, about this we have much to say, which is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of God's word. You need milk. That's what he just said about the Corinthian church. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their faculties trained by practice to distinguish good from evil. So as we commune with the Lord and as we receive his revelation, then we can learn to discern the difference between what is right and what is wrong.
Amen.
Amen. So flip over to Ephesians 1:17. Oh, this is so awesome. I just spent some time with two guys this week in discipleship, and we were going over prayer. And I took excerpts out of Paul's letters to, I almost said to the Philippines, but to the, I did say it, didn't I? Siberia. To the Philippians church, to the letter to the Philippi, and to Colossae, and to Ephesus. And there's sections right in the beginning where he's praying for the church. And this is one of them. So verse 17, he says, well, verse 16, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you, listen now, a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Paul is praying for the church that they may have the spirit, in their spirit, of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. We can have that. We can walk in that. We can have wisdom and revelation from the Father. And in James 1:5, it says, if you lack wisdom, ask him. He'll give it to you. So we can pray. We can say, oh, Father God, I need revelation. And he will reveal. Okay, real quick, we need to go over. And I'm just, you can write these verses down and look at them later, because we don't have time to belabor all of these. But I want to give you just a few things about the fact that our spirit that has received wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him can sense. Just like our soul can. We have senses, we have emotions, we can get happy, we can get glad, we can get angry, we can get mad. Well, our spirit can sense. And so, right, I'm going to blitz through these. Matthew 26, 41. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. The disciples are supposed to wait on him. They go to sleep. And he comes in and he says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Our spirit can be willing. Okay? Mark 2, 8. Jesus, perceiving in his spirit. He could tell what other people were thinking. He could perceive in his spirit. We can perceive in our spirit. Mark 8, 12. Jesus sighed deeply in his spirit. Oh, church, we can sigh in our spirit, not in our flesh. Everything, it may be totally diametrically opposed to what's going on around you, and yet you are sighing in your spirit. Luke 1:47, Mary, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Our spirit can rejoice. John 4:23, we worship the Father in spirit. Our spirits can worship. John 11:33, Jesus was deeply moved in spirit. John 13:21, he was troubled in spirit. You know what? You can be somewhere and you can just be there and all of a sudden your spirit is troubled. There may not be any trouble in sight, but we walk by faith, not by sight. And our spirit is troubled. The Holy Spirit is putting you on high alert because he's about to do something, and you know it in your spirit. Okay? Acts 17:16, Paul, his spirit was provoked within him, having to do with seeing idols. His spirit was provoked. Romans 12:11, we can be fervent in spirit. Our spirits can be zealous. They can be fervent. 1 Corinthians 14:15, we can pray with the spirit. Our spirits pray. Awesome. 2 Corinthians 2:13, Paul says, I had no rest in my spirit. And so he had to go on because he had no rest in his spirit. So those are just, you can go get a concordance and you can find that spirit with a little S and search all these out and find out what your spirit is like. Because we need to understand, if we're going to walk in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit and our spirit is together, we need to understand that. If you don't understand that, where are you going to live your life? You're going to be soulish. Okay, we're almost done. Okay, so we're going to wrap up with Colossians 1, 9, and 10. This is another one you need to go to bed with, rise up with. That's in the New Testament, isn't it, Frankie?
Yeah,
Colossians.
On page
1039. Oh, no. It's on 1229. Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10. And so, from the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Paul wouldn't write that if it couldn't happen, because all Scripture is inspired by God. He was inspired. He was moved by the Holy Spirit to write this. So even here, the Holy Spirit is revealing things to us. And he's saying that we can be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Why? To lead a life worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Amen.
That's what he promises. That's a promise. And we need to walk in it. As we spend time, you have to spend time communing with him. Communing. Having communication. Sin blocks it. Go get in the shower. And be restored in communion, and he will reveal himself to you. Jesus said in John 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. And what? Manifest myself to him. I will disclose myself to him. I will show myself to him. That's what he will do. And so we can receive revelation, and we're going to talk about conscience, and we're going to talk about how this looks as the church next week. And that will probably draw us to a close. Amen?
Amen.
Father God, I thank you for your word of truth. I thank you that we have it. You have given us not the Spirit. We haven't received the Spirit of the world. We have received the Spirit which is from God. And we can understand everything that you are heaping on us. Your grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what we have. And so, Father, we just purpose in our hearts today, even if just as an adult Sunday school class, that we're going to walk in the Spirit. We're going to abide there. We are going to live with you because you live with us. Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor, another comforter, and he will always abide with you. So, Father God, we accept that, and we rest in that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.